course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I'm one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not doing too shabby. Can't complain. Just had a couple people knock at the door, asked if Tamara was home.
Yeah. Tamara's not on the podcast today. Well, inadvertently, she is, as we are reviewing The Strangers Chapter 3 later in the show. Before we get there, we have lots to discuss and talk about. And let's begin with Ike. Did you watch anything else this week?
Honestly, not really. Kind of a slow week for me. I was going to go watch, because obviously we watched the new Strangers movie, but I was also thinking about watching the movie called Whistle. That looked pretty good, but I didn't get a chance to watch that. Maybe next weekend.
Yeah, I do want to watch that. Let's see, the only things I did rewatch Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. Because I'm not sure what we talked about last week. Something brought it up. I can't remember what it was. Oh, talking about the new A24 movie and series that's in pre-production. Watch those. Yeah. Always good fun. First movie I love. Second movie is just so much wacky fun. But yeah, those were good times. But I did rewatch those because that spurred my interest last week. So otherwise, I don't think I watched anything. I think that was it, horror related. So, still, I really would love to go see Send Help in the theaters, but haven't got to yet. So, I'm afraid I'm going to end up waiting for that to hit video on demand. But never say never. We never know. But I'm still the number one movie over the weekend on the box office. So, yeah,
nice.
Horror repping. Iron Lung, I think, was still at 3. So, yeah, good weekend. For horror again, and we'll talk about how Strangers Chapter 3 did in a little bit. But first, let's take a break. Oh, actually, I guess we're not really taking a break. It's time for our monthly game.
Stump the co-host.
And that is Stump the co-host. I got a little confused what we were doing there, but it's time for our monthly trivia game. Stump the co-host is our horror trivia game where Ike and I draw two cards from identical trivia decks. We alternate asking the questions, which is a total of 4, until a winner is determined. If, after those 4, it ends in a tie, we continue on to ask questions until there is a winner. So far this year, since we're early in the year, but I did win January. I'm up 1-0. I'm feeling good because, I usually don't do very well. And starting the win off of the year might be a good sign. But we'll see. So it's time for the February installment. We hope you will play along with us. Ike, are you ready to play Stump the Co-host?
I sure am.
All right. Well, I will ask you first, which installment from the Halloween movie franchise did not feature Michael Myers?
Well, I do believe that would be Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
That is Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, which technically he kind of does appear in there in that commercial, but
right.
We'll stick to what the cards say. So, all right, then. Ike, up 1-0, coming out of the gates hot. Here we go.
All right. Your first question is, what 2014 film is based on a Hasbro board game?
A Hasbro board game? And that's a horror movie?
Yep. So don't think about it too hard. This was a board game that they made like years ago, and it's not really a board game, but technically it is.
Okay, you're kind of blowing my mind here. 2014, huh?
Yeah.
So that's not too long ago. 8 years ago. Let's see.
And there was a sequel to this movie.
Well, the only thing, that's not it. There was a sequel, and you say it's not really a board game. per se.
It's a board game in the sense that it is a game and it has a board, I guess, but what you do with it is not your traditional board game.
Well, balls. I don't know. The only thing I can get, and I don't know. The only thing I can guess at all, and it's not, I wouldn't classify this as a, I don't know. This is not a horror thing. I'm gonna guess Battleship, but I don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
So no, there was a movie called Battleship. It had Rihanna in it, but no, it is Ouija.
Oh, okay. Well, oh, see, I was okay. I get what you're saying. Well,
Like I said, whether or not it's actually a board game,
that's
I feel like it has some disputability to it.
kind of convoluted, but okay. I mean, I guess that depends on where your beliefs lie, but
True.
wow, okay. Here we go. Your second question. Let's see. Which franchise has the most sequels? A Nightmare on Elm Street or Halloween?
I'm gonna say, I mean, these cards were made probably around 2020 or prior. I'm gonna say Halloween.
That is correct. I
Good.
mean, how long has it been since a Nightmare movie? So it could be a big gap there since the last Nightmare movie.
True. Yeah, this is 2022, so yeah,
Get off your
that counts.
asses, Nightmare on Elm Street people. We need some more content with some more movies.
Amen to that. All right. Well, your second question is, what 2009 film followed a family who adopted a girl named Esther who wasn't what she seemed?
Oh, would that be The Orphan?
That is Orphan.
All right. Whew. Thankfully, I stayed in the hunt there a little bit. All right. What 2016 M. Night Shyamalan, or however you say his name, film is about a kidnapper with 23 different personalities who's about to unleash the 24th.
That would be Split.
That would be Split. Correct. So I now
Right.
have to get the next two questions right just to tie you at the very best.
Yep, that is true. It depends on if I get my last question right, so we'll see.
No pressure on
All
me.
right. No, you got this.
I don't know.
Which Carrie, 1976 Carrie, which Carrie star also plays Linda in the original 1978 Halloween?
Linda in the 78. Who is Linda in the 78 Halloween? I would know her more from the 78 Halloween than I would for that from Carrie. Linda. Who the fuck was Linda in the 78 Halloween?
It's one of the main girls. It's that.
Yeah, and it's obviously not Jamie Lee. It's obviously not the Annie girl. I can't remember her name off the top of my head. It must be the other, and I don't. What is her name? Balls. I don't know. I don't know her name. I
It
concede.
is. It is PJ Souls.
What the f Seriously, that's not who I was thinking of. How did I not know PJ Souls? That's her name. Her name in that was Linda.
I guess so.
Damn,
Linda,
man.
yeah, in the 1978 film Halloween.
I am so disappointed in myself. That I deserve to lose.
For shame.
Damn, that's how the fuck did I even? How did I not know the other girl was PJ? So I don't. I was picturing. I don't even know what I was picturing. Damn it! Ah, your final question. Not that it matters. What was the profession of the main heroine in the 1981 werewolf film? The Howling.
The Howling, she was a news reporter, right?
She was a news reporter.
Good
All
times.
right.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right, your last question, which I feel pretty confident you'll get.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
What is the name of the demon clown who terrorizes children of Derry, Maine in Stephen King's It?
Well, I suppose it would be Pennywise.
That is correct. Pennywise, the dancing clown.
Yeah. God, man, I shouldn't have. I just, well, I would have lost anyway, but I still shouldn't have missed that one question.
For shame, no PJ Souls.
There goes my lead. Not only is PJ Souls in Halloween, she's also in another guilty pleasure film of mine, Rock and Roll High School with the Ramones.
Oh,
She's in that movie. Fun ass movie. So anyway, Ike wins the month of February. That ties us at one apiece. So yeah, I got to get back in shape if I'm going to take this this year's crown and redeem myself somewhat. Yikes. So all right, let's take a break. When we come back, we will have our news and all of our anniversaries and birthdays. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spreading the news, spreading the news, spreading the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right, first things first, and this is some good news for those of us who enjoyed In a Violent Nature. In a Violent Nature 2 is being reported that it is now in post-production. No release date has been announced quite yet. Not a lot of information is available about this, of course. I remember when we talked to Rye Barrett way back when, if I recall correctly, he mentioned wanting to reprise the role and that there were whispers, but nothing official. So I am excited, of course, to see this in movement, because obviously, you know, Dave and I were huge fans of In a Violent Nature. So we will be here for the sequel for sure.
Definitely, and evidently the second one is taking place in a camp. So
Ooh.
nothing better than a horror movie in a camp. That works for me. Love it. Bring it on. If it's in post-production, given the nature of the film and the company, I don't think we'll be that far off from a release date. It's not like we haven't got a release date and it's going to be like a year from now. It's probably going to happen in the next few months. And I'm excited. Bring it on.
Amen. Very good. But until then, you guys can also check out Primate on Video On Demand. Dave and I reviewed Primate a few weeks ago, and generally positive reviews, kind of. Not really from me, but Dave liked it. My big thing is I'm not a huge fan of like those kinds of animal movies, but that's my personal opinion. But if you want to watch our full review, you can, of course, you know, check that out in the archives. But yeah, check it out in Video On Demand. See if you would like to support the company that made it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely a movie people need to watch. It is a fun little creature type movie. But you know, obviously the creature is just kind of a straight up animal, but there are some absolutely wicked kills in it. So yeah, it's definitely a movie people should watch.
For sure. And yeah, the kills were very, very, very interesting.
That's
So
right.
very, very interesting to see, and some of the effects were pretty good too. So check that out on Video On Demand. But that does it for our news. We're gonna hop now to some upcoming birthdays. We have February 13th, 1951, David Naughton from An American Werewolf in London. And I remember I watched this for the first time a few years ago, at least 2 years ago or so. And it was good. I enjoyed it. It was a fun, campy werewolf movie. It was very enjoyable.
Yeah, it's a great movie. One of the best werewolf movies out there. And he's the man. He is the lead in An American Werewolf in London. Very good. Happy birthday, fellow David.
True, true. But yes, happy birthday, Dave. And we're gonna jump now. Can I call you Dave? And we're gonna jump now to February 17th of 1954, so not too far off from good old Davey. Don Coscarelli, to Coscarelli, creator of the Phantasm franchise. You know, Phantasm is one of those weird ones where I watched the first couple. I know there's like five or six of them, but I never watched it before, but I recognized the weapon, the flying ball that like kills people. That's pretty recognizable. But other than that, I had never seen Phantasm, and the creature, the tall man, that he's a creepy looking dude. And I guess we can thank Don over here for all of that.
Yeah, and he—I don't know if he directed, but he at least had some part in the first four, so the majority of the Phantasm movies. So, and I believe I read a thing where he based it on a nightmare he had, which is ooh, poor Don. That's the thing. Most people, even if you don't know a lot about Phantasm, most people can at least, especially if you have any peripheral knowledge of horror, you can at least picture the tall man. And everybody knows about the balls, the spheres, right? I mean, it's just kind of one of those things. And it's the first one's a great movie. I have mixed opinions about the others. I love the first one, though. But anyway, it's a great concept. And it works. And I don't know. Hats off, Don, for bringing that to us, and happy birthday.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was a nightmare I had. I don't know if I'd recover from that one. But
yeah, I mean, most of us just, you know, have night sweats and need counseling. Don says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make a movie.
You're right. You're like, all right, I'm going to. My cat's over here messing with stuff. What are you doing, bro? We're trying to talk horror movies. Anyways, we're going to move on to some upcoming movie anniversaries, but happy birthday, Don. But all right, February 13th of 2009, we have Friday the 13th, the remake. This was a good one, kind of combines the sequence of events from the first two films into one movie. You kind of get the highlights, and I like this one. It's got Jared Padalecki in it, who's, of course, of the Supernatural fame. And, you know, I like a good remake, and I like a modern adaptation, and this one is both of those things. So I like this movie. Some people don't, but it's the only thing we've gotten since the Freddy vs. Jason movie, or Jason X, whichever one came out last prior to this.
Yeah, I like it. It's pretty good. And but, of course, no matter what, I'll be a little biased because Padalecki's in it. But, yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, absolutely. But like you said, some people don't like it, but obviously we have a soft spot in our heart because of Padalecki. Gotta love it. And we're going to jump now to February 14th of 1931. We have the OG. This is timely because they're actually putting out another Dracula movie of some sort. I don't know what it's called.
I think it's just called Dracula.
Is it just called Dracula?
I think so. It looks good.
It does. It does.
I'm a sucker, man. I'm a sucker for Dracula movie. Just like, what was the one? Shit. Well, I don't know. What was the one?
Last Voyage of the Demeter.
That's it. Yeah, right. I was trying to think. It was just out of like, it was about one chapter. I'm a sucker for this stuff, right? I'm a sucker for Dracula movie. I'm a sucker for Frankenstein movies. Again, the new Dracula has a very different look. That's okay. That's cool. But the original, what we're talking about here at 31, the Dracula, we've said it before. I don't know if we need to re-say it again. This movie has absolutely set the standard for what people think of when they think Dracula's, when they think vampires. The slick back hair, the widow's peak, the ribbon, the cape, that's all Bela Lugosi and this 31 Dracula. So no matter if this is your cup of tea or not, you have to appreciate what it has done in the standard it set. I mean, it's surreal to think the pop culture standard that it has created. When you say vampire, what the majority of the people picture, right? It's probably in two divisions, right? Either a if you're super young and you think a sparkly, good-looking guy, or you think Bela Lugosi, right? In that thing, but merchandise-wise and whatever else, I mean, this is it. This is what most people think of, and that's unbelievable. That's a huge impact in the world, and it's a great movie. I don't care what people say; it's a great movie.
That's very true. And yeah, it's that classic Lugosi look, and yeah, then the new one does look good too. It looks interesting, and I'll definitely check it out. But I can't remember. I don't know if it's even in theaters anymore, or if it had like a small run. I don't know. That according to IMDb, it came out last year, but I was like, I really don't remember it being in theaters. Like, I don't know. It was a weird push for it, but no. I'll definitely check it out. It looks pretty good, though. It has Christoph Waltz in it, who I love. So, but yeah, the OG, you can't beat that original Bela Lugosi look. And that, to me, is really what makes it so, you know, such a standout role for him and just a standout role in general. And not to mention, it was made almost 100 years ago, and it still has cultural relevance today. It's crazy to think that in, what, 5 years, it'll have been out for 100 years.
Yeah. And we talk about it all the time, right? Whether it's, you know, an anniversary of the movie, whether it's the birthday of Bela Lugosi, whatever it is, we talk about it all the time. But you can't understate the impact. I know people a lot of times, when they think horror, they don't, some people don't necessarily think of the old Universal stuff, right? Because it's, in retrospect, it's not that scary anymore. That doesn't matter. You got to have context of the times, number one. But number two, just the absolute impact. I mean, we're talking about a movie that is virtually 100 years old that is still being merchandised and making lots of money to this day. I mean, how many movies can you say that about that at 100 years are still as impactful and money-making as these Universal movies? I mean, there's still new merchandise and figures and whatever there is based off these movies. And they are still wildly successful. So I know they're not everybody's cup of tea, and I get that. That's okay. That's cool. But you can't undermine the historical significance and the foundation of what they laid for horror movies. You know, I mean, this is where, you know, this is the foundation for vampires, and anything that came after it, whether it's different or not, built off of this. Still use this as the template, and they may have changed things, but it's still the foundation. You know, it's, I don't know. I get caught up in that and thinking of that impact, right? That impact on the world, the impact on entertainment and pop culture. And I'm telling you, you don't get more impactful than 1931 Dracula. And it blows my mind.
Absolutely. 100%. But all right, let's move on from our Dracula talk for now. But we'll wish Dracula a happy birthday, I guess. Technically, this is his birthday. but moving on now to some upcoming releases. We have a bunch of these, actually, so that's really cool. Mm-hmm. First things first is The Mortuary Assistant, which comes to theaters on February 13th and is described as Rebecca Owens, a mortuary science graduate, takes a night job at Riverfield's Mortuary. What begins as a routine job soon turns sinister as she faces terrifying supernatural forces. And we will be reviewing this movie next episode. I'm stoked for this. This is another video game movie. Despite what people might think about Return to Silent Hill, within the first 2 months of 2026, we've had three video game movies released. Return to Silent Hill, Iron Lung, and now Mortuary Assistant, which is absolutely fucking insane. Not to mention, we're getting Resident Evil at the end of this year, which I'm also very excited for. And I'm sure I'm missing another one. I heard Paul W.S. Anderson's making a House of the Dead movie, so it's possible we might get that too before the end of the year. Who fucking knows? But nonetheless, three of these movies already in the first couple of months. I'm so excited. Mortuary Assistant's a fantastic video game. Scary, scary, scary as hell. Also, Markiplier's played this video game. He's famous for playing this video game. So I'm very excited that, you know, to see, you know, he even commented on it during the Iron Lung press release. He's even like, you know, he was talking about how video games are starting to get a lot more love, and he's excited for the Mortuary Assistant too. So But no, I'll stop rambling. I'm super pumped for this. I even forgot that this was coming out this month. I thought it was later this year. And Dave sent me the schedule kind of for the upcoming releases. And I was like, holy shit, that comes out next week? Hell yeah.
Yeah, and again, I know, as people that listen to the show know, I know jack shit about this as a video game. I don't know, whatever. And but we saw this preview. I don't even remember what it was for. Was it Iron Lung that maybe that we saw the preview for it first?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, I think maybe I no, I didn't see it again. It was Strangers. Yeah, I think it was Iron Lung. And I don't care if it's a video game or not. Whatever, that's fine. I don't care the source. Just watching the trailer, man, this looks like a freaking scary ass movie. And I like it. And again, I don't have any knowledge of the video game, which is one of the cool things on this show, that it's always cool, right? Because depending on the source material, it seems that it's either something that Ike's pretty passionate about or knows, or it's me, depending on that. I think that's the cool thing about the age difference, right? That gives us that balance. I don't know anything about this or the source material, never played the game, didn't even know it was a game, but it looks great, and I will get to see it just purely as a movie, right? Just as a general moviegoer. And based on the trailer, this looks great. I can't wait to see it, can't wait to review it and talk about it. I'm excited.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're 100% right. That's the fantastic thing about both this movie, The Iron Lung, and Return to Silent Hill, and even Resident Evil. Is you're I mean, I guess for Resident Evil, Resident Evil is going to be a little bit different because it's a completely original story with connections to the video games. So that one will be a little bit more even playing field for you and I, especially since you've seen the other Resident Evil movies. But specifically for these three movies, you really had no concept going into them about what was going to happen. Nope. So you were kind of coming from it from the layman's perspective, and I was coming from the I love these games, I've played these games perspective. So it's always great. It's a good generational gap to have on the show, and it makes sense. So
yeah, it's a good balance.
I think so. But anyways, I can talk about more Toy Assistant forever, but I'm super excited. We'll have our official review next week, guys. But make sure you guys go out and watch it and give it some love. If you can't go out to the theaters this weekend, we have some other stuff for you. On February 13th, we have Honey Bunch coming to Shudder. It is described as Diana wakes up from a coma with memory loss, and she and her husband seek experimental treatments at a remote facility. As the procedures intensify, their marriage is put to the test, and Diana begins to question her husband's true motives. I love that it's called like Honey Bunch, because I'm sure that's supposed to be like an endearing name. But I'm going to venture to guess that it's going to be pretty insidious once we get into the nitty gritty of the movie. I love a good movie where you have a coma and memory loss. That's always fun. And experimental treatments never work out. So I'll be excited to see how that goes. But always a good time with Shudder.
That's right. Bad shit happens with experimental treatments. But this is one of those things. It's weird to say. I don't even care about the description that much. It's like these kind of movies, I trust Shudder and Screambox. I'm going to watch it. I don't care. Right? I subscribe. It's a new release. It's an exclusive release for Shudder. I'm going to watch it. You don't even have to tell me the description. I'm going to give it a chance. And the majority of the time, I enjoy these movies. And I watch them, and it makes me glad that I subscribe. Because if it's like most of these other releases, right? Honey Bunches, it's maybe not a movie that would probably get a theatrical release. We've talked about it, right? The streaming services, kind of like the straight to DVD stuff, but that's not even a knock, right? There's still a lot of good stuff there. And I really hope people are getting on board. We have trumpeted it so much, and I really hope everybody subscribes to Shudder and Screenbox at the very least, and watches this stuff, because there's a lot of, not only do you get lots of old stuff and archive stuff and things like that, right? A lot of great old movies that you wouldn't see anywhere else. They're not on any other streaming services. But you get exclusive stuff like this movie. And that's great, right? It's great to see these things. And these alone are worth the cost of subscription. Not even taking into account all the archival stuff they put out.
No, absolutely. Shudder exists in a very necessary format, because without Shudder, we would not have a lot of the archival action that we should.
Yeah.
I definitely think that people don't realize that without places like Shudder and Screambox, we would not have things like the Toxic Avenger movie getting a remake or a place where that's streamed properly. It would probably end up in the depths of like a free streaming service, which are not bad, but they don't get made into remakes. You know, Tubi's not out here pumping out remakes of movies, but Shudder and Screambox are. They're making remakes of Silent Night, Deadly Night. They're making remakes of Toxic Avenger. You know, Screambox has this entire genre of Cineverse that is remaking video game movies and stuff like that. So, these people at Screambox and Shudder are serving a very, very necessary purpose. And they're allowing these independent creators to make things, but also allowing these old series to really come to life and be given new life.
And it's so wild when you scroll through the content on these, you see this unbelievable mix of new stuff, exclusive stuff, these archival stuff that either you didn't know about or you've forgotten about, foreign horror. There's so much of that on these. And it's just, man, there is literally, you cannot find the depths of content like you can in these two if you're a horror fan. I mean, literally, if you love horror, you have to subscribe to these two. There's just no question. I mean, you have to, because you're doing a huge disservice. Because, I mean, there's so many times I'm just sitting around and don't know what I want to watch, don't know what I want to, you know, and I just scroll through and I'm like, I'll just pick something, right? I'll watch that. And what have I got to lose, right? Whether it's an old archival movie, whether it's something new, whatever it is. And I have discovered so many things that I really, really like that I never really even heard of. Never had no clue. Just off a whim, picking it off. You know, and it's wild. I love it. And I know we've really got off on a tangent, but we are huge proponents. We are huge supporters of these two services. And, man, you just cannot stress enough the importance of these two to the horror fandom. And I feel such gratitude towards them for providing this content, whether it be, again, whether it be new or archival, whatever it may be. There's just so much stuff that it's such a treat to get to see because of them.
Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, we got a little bit of a tangent, but that's okay. But speaking of Shudder and Screambox, we also have a Screambox release on February 17th. We have Bloodborne. Love it already. It is described as, to celebrate the last summer before college, Josie invites six fellow camp counselor to her family's abandoned barn. As their presence stirs a supernatural malevolent force, Josie faces a shrouded history in order to save her friends. So, again, Screambox and Shudder are putting in the work. Screambox is, you know, and Shudder have given us two releases. If you can't make it to the theater this weekend, you can check out these two. But absolutely, we could talk about Shudder and Screambox all day and how much we love them. But suffice it to say, without them, we would be severely lacking in the horror category. So many great things would have been missed and passed by had it not been for these companies. So definitely excited for that.
Yeah, I will watch both these movies, and I'm looking forward to them both. And had it not been for Mortuary Assistant being something that we're looking forward to so much, we very easily could have picked one of these other two movies to review. You know, I mean, even, you know, even and that's not even because it's a theatrical release. It's not that. It's just because this is a movie, right, that you were really looking forward to. I saw the trailer. I was looking forward to it. It's really one of those things that we discuss every time, right? Okay, what's coming out in theaters? What's coming out on Shudder? What's coming out on Screambox? That's kind of the go-to discussion every week when we go to review because it is, right? It's a standard for horror. And I hope to watch both these in the time frame that when we review Mortuary Assistant, that, you know, we can mention the other two and stuff. So again, I'm looking forward to those as well, that time period. This is pretty stoked that in this time period, there's these three fun movies coming out.
Yeah, absolutely. But all right, I think that does it for our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and releases. Gotten a little bit of a tangent talking about Shudder and Screambox, and I think that happens all the time, really, because we just love those services so much. So Shudder and Screambox, you guys should definitely sponsor us. But but all right, we're gonna take a quick break.
They've been very supportive. Let's don't we you know. They send us screeners and whatnot. They've been supportive, but yeah, we love you both, Screambox and Shudder. You are
absolutely.
That's right. We love you. Sending all the love.
Sending all the love. But all right. But we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, guys, we're gonna have our official review of the final chapter in the Stranger series, Chapter 3. So stick around.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Okay, we're back here on Listen to Their Screams. Guys, I promise you in this last segment, there's a better than not chance we probably won't mention Shudder or Screambox. you never know, but the primary topic, at least, is The Strangers Chapter 3. Which is out now in theaters. It was written by Alan R. Cohen and Alan Friedland, directed by Rennie Harlan, starring Madeline Pesch, Gabrielle Basso, and others. It grossed $3,472,554 domestically on opening weekend, which was good for number 7. And on a side note, was the lowest opening for any of the Strangers movies on opening weekend. So. And I have to say, I don't know. I guess I don't know why more people weren't enthused to go see it. It's like I have to say, I was a little disappointed in this movie. I thought, man, I really liked Chapter 2 so much. And I thought this one was compared to that, even compared to the first one, which was kind of a, not so direct, but a pretty much a remake of the old movie. I kind of thought this one was a little dull, a little boring. I don't think it was as good, and I thought it was a little more all over the place. I liked in Chapter 2 that they kind of focused in on one character more, which I liked that. But when that made it in this one, I felt like they were all over the place a lot more, and they kind of it's like they kind of shoved in that third stranger's the one girl a little bit with her kind of her backstory. They kind of just like, oh well, by the way, this is how she got in it. And I don't know. I don't know. I just felt let down. I didn't feel this really gripped me like the second one did. And it kind of bummed me out coming out of it. I was like, man, I really wanted more out of it. I don't know. I don't know what I would have changed per se. It was just kind of blah. It didn't really tell me anything new or set any new standards for the franchise that like the second one did, right? Where this one, I don't know. There was just, I didn't care for it as much as the others. It's almost like, man, I'd rather go back and watch Prey at Night than this thing. And I don't know. I just, I found it, like I said, the best word I can say, and I hate saying it, it was just a touch boring for me. And it did not grab me like the others did. So I don't know what else to say. It was kind of just bleh for me, and let me down. I really felt a little let down. It's not what I hoped for, and I don't know. But Ike, what did you think of it?
Wow! So for the first time in a couple weeks, we are in agreement.
All right.
I think for me, I blame myself for this slightly, but also on the other hand, it's not really my fault because they've kind of built it up to this. I had a higher expectation going in this film about what the outcome was going to be and how things were going to go. So I think that if you watch the progression of the other two films, now that, you know, we're much past the other two films. These are spoilers for those movies. So if you've not watched the first two chapters, you know, keep that in mind. But you had the first movie, which they had to make, right? We talked about that a lot, that the first movie was a requirement. It was a prerequisite for the series, because if they're going to make a new trilogy, they kind of have to establish a baseline. So you have the baseline, Madeline Petch, her boyfriend dies, she doesn't. It kind of mirrors the first Strangers movie, where Scott Speedman's character is murdered, and then Liv Tyler's character, yeah, is still alive. And it kind of mirrors that first movie. And then you have the second film. The second film has a much larger scope. We're kind of expanding our horizons a little bit. We're pulling in these tertiary characters. We're creating and sowing seeds of, you know, despair and, you know, not trusting people. And we have Madeline Petch on the run a little bit, which kind of leads into this movie, which I won't spoil anything for. But you definitely think that this movie is going to end much differently than it actually did. I definitely feel like they were building it up to a certain peak, and it has never quite reached that level, which I think is where sort of that disappointment comes from, is that we kind of had expectations based on these other two movies. Not only that, like you said, it kind of felt like they just threw some stuff together. Maybe they weren't really thinking everything through totally. A little lacking in consistency from the other two movies, but it wasn't the worst movie I've ever watched. If I had to do a rewatch of the Strangers movies, I would obviously go back and watch this movie. It would be part of that rewatch. Whether or not it was a desirable ending to this trilogy is a whole other conversation. And maybe there's more, who knows, but we'll see. But for right now, I wasn't super happy with it.
Yeah, me neither. I felt like it was this trilogy, this remake or what reboot trilogy was building. And I felt like this is no doubt the weakest of the three.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I almost would have just rather they just don't even, who cares about the third girl and how she joined them? I whatever. I mean, that just seems so odd, right? It's like the other two and their quote unquote origin into this universe. And the second one was so great, right? And it's this back to childhood and this bond. And this one was just like, okay, we've been doing this as kind of a couple for a while. And then we wandered upon this. I don't know. It seemed, it really seemed not thought through real great. Yeah. And just, I don't know, just a lot of the way they handled the main character's behavior through this one was just, it was just a little odd to me. And just, to me, it didn't make sense. It wasn't on track for what I thought it should have been. And I don't want to say a whole lot because it will. Let's just say this character, and I don't know the character's name, it's the one that Madeline plays, just fought like hell for these movies. And then just, it's like got to a point where she just gave up, just quit. And I don't know, it didn't make sense to me. And it was kind of a letdown. I don't know. I don't like how they handled it at all. I don't know. And again, it is peculiar to me how we feel about this movie and how it performed, because it's like, were people reading reviews of it ahead of time and just deciding, taking that to heart and just saying, I don't want to see it, because it didn't perform well, and it was the, you know, the lowest opening performance wise weekend of the entire franchise. But it's almost, because I don't read reviews and I don't put any stock in anything that I stumble across, I want to see the movie and judge for myself,
right?
So it's like, you would think with that mindset people would go see it and then be like, oh, let down, and it would have a big decline in the second week. From that's my line of thinking how this should work. But apparently people are reading the early reviews and I guess and thinking they just want to skip it. And I don't know. This is a movie that to me it felt like a streaming movie, right? It felt like something that went straight to it. And I'm not saying that to knock Shudder, Screambox, I guess we are going to mention them, or any of these other streaming services, because they have really good stuff. But this just felt like a movie that should go straight to something streaming wise. It didn't feel like a theatrical release. It was just a letdown. And I guess it was a letdown because I really enjoyed the second one so much too. It was like this big letdown because I felt like things were building really well from the first to the second, and I guess I was anticipating a lot more, and not so much. And I don't know what people are thinking. Again, it didn't perform well. I would like to hear feedback from listeners on social media on what they thought about it, whether they were let down, whether they were disappointed, whether they saw it, what they thought. I don't know. I wasn't impressed. It didn't have that whatever it is, that it factor
Yeah.
that some of the other movies have had in this franchise, particularly. I don't know. I really love the second one, and this one, it's like they just completely went off track. I don't know, off track. It was just dull to me, very boring for this franchise, for anything. And I don't know. It was disappointing, but I guess if we gotta rate it, ooh, Lord, I guess I'm not going to completely tank it, but I think I am going to give it a 2 screams out of 5. I really think that's how much of a disappointment it was to me. I'm not going to say it's lower than a 2 per se, but knowing that that standard's always a 3 is a kind of an enjoyable watch. Neither really that's kind of the middle ground, that middle line. I don't feel like this was quite there, and I don't feel like it was enough to even be close to it. I'm ranking it at 2 out of 5 screams. Ike, what are you giving it?
I would say it was a little bit less than a middle of the ground movie, but I'm gonna say 2.5 out of 5. A little tad bit more than yours, not much, but I don't know. It was one of those things where like maybe I need to watch it again, but I don't know, probably not. It really just kind of seems like you got what you got, and it was just like, oh, if you're not happy, we go fuck yourself. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll change it. Kind of like I did, I'll flip flop like I did with Halloween Ends. But no, I don't really think there was anything ulterior to this. It just seemed very surface level. And yeah, 2.5, I think, would be fair, given my mixed feelings about the movie.
Well, there you go. Again, less than average, either way you slice it, a little less than our standard average 3 out of 5. Both of us bringing it in below that. Come on, strangers, you could have done better. But it is what it is, and that
You
brings
should
us
have.
to you should have done better. But that brings us to closing up this episode. And again, next episode we will be reviewing The Mortuary Assistant. Super so psyched for that. Think that's going to be a lot of fun. Before we close out, we'd like to say thank you to our wives and all the listeners and followers for all of your support. Don't forget, guys, February 20th through 22nd, we will be at Pensacon and Pensacola, Florida. If you're going to be there, please hit us up on social media. We would love to meet you. We would love to say hi. We'd love to shake your hand. We'd love to pose for a selfie with you. Let us know if you will be at Pensacon. We will be there. We'll be all over the place. We'll be reviewing. We'll be talking to people. We'll be looking at the merchandise, the costumers, the cosplayers, everything else. But if you're going to be at Pensacon, hit us up. Also, be sure to subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much any platform. Just search for Listen to Their Screams or Listen the number 2 and Screams. We share all of our news and anniversaries on there, plus a lot more. Plus, there'll be a lot of content related to Pensacon on there, so make sure you subscribe. Before we close and get out of here for this episode, Ike, anything you want to add?
I don't think so. I think that that does it for me. I'm very excited for the Mortuary Assistant, though. I kind of mentioned it, but I'm very, very excited. I think the Mortuary Assistant is going to be pretty solid. I think that from the layman perspective, I think that this one is going to probably be your favorite out of the three movies that we've seen so far, video game wise. I'm going to call it now.
Well, I have to tell you that I didn't really care for the other two that much. Oh no, I did like Iron Lung, but I don't know. So yeah, I this one looks like it's more despite anything, it kind of looks more like it's more in my wheelhouse. So, all right then, that's it. Again, we're closing on PensaCon. If you're in the area, get your tickets now before they sell out. And again, next episode we'll be reviewing the Mortuary Assistant. But until then, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.